Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We continue making our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and Paul's instructions concerning the spiritual gift of tongues. That was the biggie among the spiritual gifts. And that was the problem among the spiritual gifts. That was the one that was being misunderstood and misused in a way that apparently the others were not. And so Paul has to deal with it and to correct its use. And he does so throughout the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, we have made our way through most of the chapter, but we've come to not the final section, but a later section. And so far, this is what we have learned. Number one, the elevation of tongues is childish. That is, elevating it to a place of prominence that the Bible does not give it. That's childish, according to verse 20. Furthermore, the elevation of tongues is misguided. And that's taught us in verses 21 and 22. Because there we're told, in those two verses, that the purpose of tongues is a sign of judgment for unbelievers, particularly unbelieving Jews, Jewish apostates who will not listen to the Word of God that is proclaimed to them clearly in their language. And therefore, as an act of judgment, God will force them to listen to languages they don't understand. And the tongues, which are spoken by the believers, is a sign of that judgment. It reminds them of the Old Testament judgment when God judged Israel by carrying them away to Babylon, where they were now listening to a language they didn't understand. And it foreshadows the judgment that will fall upon Jerusalem in 70 A.D., when Jews will be scattered all over the earth and listening to languages which they don't understand. And that will come if you won't listen to the gospel clearly proclaimed to you that Jesus is the promised Messiah that all the Old Testament spoke of, and all of the evidence is there, and it's clear and plain, and you won't hear it. So, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. The prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Well, we will go on from there in a moment, but this is Thursday, May 5. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your financial help that keeps us teaching on this station. Well, Paul goes on to say that the elevation of tongues is unproductive because it doesn't have a helpful effect upon unbelievers who may come into your church. He's told us several times in this passage that tongues don't serve any useful purpose at church. It's not for the assembly of the saints. It's not for believers. And so he says in verse 23, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers. He's talking about people who are not Christians and don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the Word of God. And they come into the church and the whole church is speaking with tongues. Now stop there. That's a hyperbole. Everybody, the whole church, every individual in the church speaking with tongues. Paul has made it clear back in chapter 12 that God doesn't give every gift to every believer. Tongues are not given to everyone. In that first century, it was a valid gift, but not everybody had it. So when he says this, it's clear that he's exaggerating for the sake of effect. Furthermore, he's going to instruct them that when tongues are spoken, they should not be spoken by more than two or three individuals, and only if there's an interpreter present. So, kind of backtracking, he does eventually getting around to tell us that, yes, they may be used in the church if they are carefully used in this manner and this manner alone, but that, of course, is different from what he seems to be saying here when he says, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. But clearly that's an exaggeration. He's not envisioning a time or a place where everybody speaks with tongues anymore. Then he goes on to say, if you all come together and all prophesy. But not everybody has the gift of prophecy. So it would not be possible for everybody to prophesy. And it would not be possible for everybody to speak in tongues. But he's saying, even if that should happen, if everybody should speak in tongues, what effect is that going to have on believers? Well, they're going to say, these folks are crazy. Right? Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, that is, all speak divine revelations, all speak the word of God, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. The word of God brings him under conviction. So, the effect of tongues upon unbelievers, if tongues are being employed in the church, doesn't help them at all. Not surprisingly, that's not the purpose for them. We've already learned what the purpose is. It's for a sign for unbelieving Jews. So it's not, they don't have a useful purpose within the church. Their purpose is outside the church, to unbelieving Jews who don't come to church. But the effect of prophecy upon the same unbelievers who come, and these would be people who have an interest, they've come to church for some reason. They want to know what this is all about. They've come to learn. They've come to hear the Word of God. They've come to find out who Christians are and what they do and how they worship. And if they hear everybody speaking in tongues, they're going to say, these people are crazy. If they hear the Word of God being articulated by everyone, then they will be brought under conviction. The effect is very different. They are convicted, that is, convinced of truth and convinced of their sinfulness. They are exposed. The secrets of their heart are revealed. They submit to God. They fall down on their face. They worship God, which is the evidence of conversion. That's the essence of conversion. It makes rebels into worshipers of God. And their testimony is that God is truly among you. Did you catch all of that? But if all prophesy, verse 24, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So what's the point of all this? Tongues are unproductive for Christian assembly, for church. But prophecy is highly productive in Christian assembly. That's what we come to church for, is to hear the Word of God. And what is good for believers, to hear the Word of God in an intelligible language so that it comes to you clearly, is also good for unbelievers. The worship service of the church is not constructed or designed to appeal to unbelievers. It's not designed to attract unbelievers. That's a great mistake of some churches in our day. That's not taught in Scripture. But when God is working in hearts and brings unbelievers to church, then what do they need to hear? They need to hear the Word of God. If they hear tongues, other foreign languages that they don't understand, that just creates confusion. They wonder about your sanity. If they hear the revelation of God being spoken plainly, then it very well may be that God the Holy Spirit is going to use that to convict them and bring them to Christ. And so what we learn in this section is that tongues, at their very best, are of limited value for the church. They probably, and this takes us back to what we said earlier, but they probably fulfilled their intended function long ago. Tongues are a sign for unbelievers that judgment is coming, and that judgment came in AD 70. It's parallel to the warning about judgment of the Old Testament by Isaiah before the people were carried away into Babylonian captivity. And now we find something similar in the New Testament era, where Jews who will not listen to the word of truth, the revelation of God that comes to them in an understandable tongue, are going to be judged by God and scattered, and will hear languages they don't understand. And if that is the purpose for tongues, the warning of judgment, which came in AD 70, then what would be the purpose after AD 70? So it is doubtful that tongues have a God-intended purpose after the judgment that they were a sign of has fallen, and probably, therefore, will no longer be bestowed by God's Spirit, because there wouldn't be any productive purpose for it at all. Tongues. Limited value for the church. Preaching. Entirely different. Prophecy. Clear communication of truth in an understandable language. That's what is needed. And that gift, spiritual gift, was probably fulfilled in its function with the completion of the New Testament canon. Just like tongues' purpose, we are told here clearly what the purpose is. It's a sign for unbelievers. That purpose was likely fulfilled in AD 70. So prophecy was likely no longer needed. It fulfilled its function and was no longer needed with the completion of the New Testament scriptures. And so today, the sound exposition of the scriptures which have been given extends the same function to churches now that prophecy did in that era before the New Testament scriptures had been fully given. And that tells us, therefore, that preaching should be valued highly in churches today. Just like prophecy should have been the most highly valued spiritual gift in Paul's day, so the exposition of Scripture, preaching, should be the most highly valued spiritual gift, or the most highly valued function in churches today. And all of this is against a backdrop of spiritual maturity, which is what this passage started with in telling us not to be children. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. The immature Christian prefers spectacle and entertainment over the exposition of Scripture. But mature Christians must resist that desire, must resist the desire of people to be entertained, must resist the desire for spectacle, and rather focus upon the recovery of the exposition of Scripture, which is the way to create, to develop, and to maintain healthy churches in our day. That's what we are told in regard to tongues and prophecy. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.